since Daniel doesn't want to keep track of number and for me, I have to do it myself.
My fault. It's not my duty, alright?
It is not your duty. You're officially being designated as the number, the bean counter on duty.
Let me write down number 11 somewhere.
On the air, so you can never deny that. And joining us all the way from España is Jason. It's been several long weeks since we've last done an episode. I guess not that long ago. We did a Halloween special like 2 weeks ago, but and actually numbered one. It's been almost a month and a half, maybe. Yeah. So it's been a while.
Podcast falls apart when I'm away.
So this is the new beginning of an old end. I think, I mean, starting this week, I think we're moving to Fridays. It doesn't really affect you folks as this comes out Monday no matter what happens. So,
That's what we're supposed to record it, but that will never happen.
Yeah. So, I guess we might as well jump right into it. What have you folks been saying for the past... Well, recently, I guess. You don't need to go that far back, because it's crunch time for video games. It's when new video games come out, like, 15 times a week. So...
The new IP guy, has been playing Black Ops, quite ironically.
Yeah, not only have you been playing Black Ops, you are playing Black Ops as we record this, are you not?
Yeah, I am. I'm surprised, because Black Ops on the PC, because I'm playing the PC version... It takes up so much, because it's badly made, let's put it that way. It takes up so much resources, I'm surprised I'm even able to do two things at once.
How do you feel about supporting Black Ops? I mean, we know it's a small-time publisher in Activision who one day we hope will, you know, get enough money to become something more than a niche market.
I've always been one for supporting independent developers, so I couldn't really say no to buying Black Ops. I don't care. A lot of people are like, oh, Activision, why do you give Activision money? As far as I care, it's a game. I want it. I'm going to go out and fucking buy it. You know?
This is where I have issues with people. And, you know, everybody has their own opinion. I do not see Activision as an evil company.
They are.
They are a company that sees the bottom line, which may be evil to some people.
See, it's funny because, believe it or not, I don't think either of you actually own the game, so you wouldn't see this. But in the multiplayer, what it says is it's got this kind of ticker, and it tells you like what your friends have been doing, and it tells you how many like total counters to the game, like 10,000 million grenades have been thrown or something. And then it appears and says Call of Duty multiplayer free with every copy of Black Ops, as if to say fuck you, EA.
Nice. But I'm assuming they're going to change that pretty soon.
To be fair, they don't really need more money with how many copies they sell of that thing. So.
No, they don't need more money, but I don't necessarily mean that I should boycott the games they do make just because they make a lot of money. Yes, they ran Guitar Hero into the ground. They killed Tony Hawk. Tony Hawk's been retired forever, but...
I think wasn't it Tony Hawk's idea to have this stupid peripheral, though?
Well, no, Tony Hawk was dead long before Ride came out. Tony Hawk, that's why they kept on rebranding it, like American Gangster, Underground, and all that other stuff. So the franchise, it happens with these sequels. There are not many games that can actually maintain a iteration outside of sports franchises.
Yeah.
And I assume it's going to happen because, I mean, next year they plan on at least having two different Call of Duties, if not three.
I've actually started, and I've laid a ground rule for my Call of Duty purchases from now on. And that is only, like, you leapfrog them, so...
That's what I used to do, but then...
Because I've decided that Treyarch actually put more effort into their games. They're not as, like, good presentation-wise. The gameplay is normally better, so I'm going to just buy the Treyarch ones, I think. Even though people are just going, oh, Treyarch are fucking shit. I prefer the Treyarch ones, so...
Infinity Ward isn't going to be real Infinity Ward anymore anyway, so...
That actually reminds me, I have a bet going with Jason, if I'm not mistaken, that he cannot buy Black Ops, because he said after Modern Warfare, after the map packs, he was not buying any more products from them, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct, but what do I win again? Because so far I'm winning.
Well, you're winning because you're not in this country.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, if I get it as a Christmas present, that doesn't count.
I don't know. But you could be telling people. You could just be telling people buy me the game for Christmas. So I can
no, I'm not.
Way.
I don't want it. I just want to play it for zombies, and the wager matches look pretty cool.
Zombies is awesome, especially when you're playing as like JFK or Richard Nixon.
Dude, that was brilliant to like make those like historical figures or characters.
And the good thing is they like have like they kind of banter with each other. So, I was playing it the other day, and I was playing as Castro, and I was surrounded by zombies, and the guy next to me, JFK, was going, "Hey, look, Castro's surrounded. Let's all point and laugh." And I just thought,
that's
brilliant.
Awesome.
I did not know you played as historical figures in zombie mode.
Yeah, it's only in one level, but it's set in the Pentagon, so, you know, it's more...
Oh, it is? I thought it was very long.
I mean, yeah. Zombie mode is one of the reasons I actually wanted to buy World at War. But, you know, Call of Duty games don't really drop them twice. Even now, I think Modern Warfare, the original, still goes for like $50. $40, $50, so we'll see. Other than supporting the niche independent developers, have you been playing anything else recently?
New Vegas. I actually bought the new copy of New Vegas on PC after playing a pirated copy, because I wasn't going to buy it because of how buggy it was, and then they fixed all the performance issues and they fixed the save issues. So I was like, it's only £22, I'll just buy it.
So another small independent developer you're supporting.
Yeah, may I say the engine that New Vegas is on is the best video game engine. Every game should be on the Game Brio engine.
I don't want every game to be on the same
engine.
I completely
disagree. It's so ugly.
That's it's what I was being sarcastic.
Okay. Just checking.
The engine is awful.
I haven't played, so...
Well, Game Brio is being sold now, so don't have to worry about that.
Is there anything else you got going on? Any new IPs you're playing?
What is a new IP? What? There were new IPs released this year?
There are a ton of new IPs released this year. Well, actually not a ton.
They've all been like single player, so no.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the problem is that it's difficult to find a niche in the multiplayer market because Modern Warfare. And, you know, I mean, I guess the Call of Duty, because at this point, Modern Warfare seems to be the bigger brand, but Call of Duty is what... I mean, because, if I'm not mistaken, they said that Black Ops actually outsold Modern Warfare 2 in
open.
Yeah,
it did.
So, at this point, it's not Modern Warfare, it's the Call of Duty brand itself, which is
but
so
the reason... There's a really good reason why Black Ops outsold Modern Warfare.
Hype.
Because Modern Warfare was so bad, and... Because this happened to me, like, everyone was moaning, like, the day before Black Ops came out, they're like, "Oh, Black Ops are going to fix all the problems in Modern Warfare 2. Modern Warfare 2 is so bad." And then the day after Black Ops came out, everyone was like, this is at college, by the way, everyone was like, "Oh, Black Ops is crap. I'm going to go back and play Modern Warfare 2. It's like, oh, for God's sake.
No, this happens with every single Call of Duty.
This happens with every single game.
I like
there's never...
it's a lot more than Call of Duty, actually.
I do not know any game that comes out and people are like, you know what, this is perfect, I don't need anything else in my life. If that was the case, we wouldn't play video games. There's always something you want, something more, something to add, something that you had the foresight to see 6 months after you played the game for months, hours on end. So, I mean, it's going to happen. It's no big deal, because they're going to say the same thing when Modern Warfare 3 comes out. They're going to fix all the problems with Black Ops and put back in the stuff that Modern Warfare 2 had that they love so much. And then there's going to be new issues with that. So it happens. What about you, Jason? I know you're away from home, so I don't even know if you have your consoles with you.
I do not. I have my PSP.
And oh, that has no games.
You've got so many games to play then.
Exactly. What happened was I played Kingdom Hearts. I got it right before I left the state. And I played it for about 10 minutes and just...
Wait, is that the new one? Birth by Sleep or whatever?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just not in the mood to invest in a Japanese RPG. It's way too corny for me. But, like, after... Well, like, right now. But...
I didn't know Square Enix made JRPGs anymore.
Yeah, I didn't know Square Enix made anything else. No, they're making that new crappy game, aren't they? The one in the prison?
Oh, yeah.
Gun Loco.
Gun Loco.
No, because... Final Fantasy 13 wasn't a JRPG.
Yeah, I know it's a dig at Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah,
I was about to say, we had a big Final Fantasy 13 debate 6 months after the game came out, so. Anything else? Because honestly, I don't know what comes out on the PSP, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, God of War came out, but I didn't get it yet. But I did what and sprung for FIFA 11, because I've been going to a lot of soccer games here. And
you should say football if you're in their country before they...
No, fuck that. I don't know.
Feather you.
But, so I already was planning to get FIFA 11 for 360 when I go back, but I did not wait. So I got the PSP version, which is not even close to as good.
I can't imagine it being that great.
I didn't know this, but apparently you can't change the language, so I'm playing it in Spanish.
Well, I mean, you should learn Spanish while you're in Spain.
No, I'm learning a lot of words already.
There you go. But do you have, like, just the game signed up for when you come back? Because you've been over there for, what, 2 months now?
Yeah, well, like I said, FIFA 11 is probably the first thing. And then I'm just going to start going through my pile. I mean, I already finished Halo Reach before I left. So then I want to try out Hot Pursuit. And New Vegas and Fable 3. I was told
that game is just Burnout with licensed cars. And I was like, that doesn't surprise me.
Which
honestly,
I'm perfectly fine
with. Burnout with licensed cars, that sounds fantastic.
Wait, it depends. If it's Burnout...
And cops.
Burnout. If it's Burnout, Burnout. If it's Burnout Paradise, I'm all for it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've seen... It's gotten some pretty good reviews. And stuff,
yes,
so
it has. It looks okay, and of course you're going to get Black Ops.
Nope. Resistant. I wanted to get Rock Band 3 with the Squire guitar, with the actual strings, until they announced it March 1st, and then they announced it was like $250 or something.
Yeah,
I was
about to say, at this rate, just wait until like January, the way music games are bombing, just be like $50 for Toys R Us.
Yeah.
So. I mean, I'm gonna get it eventually, but I'm definitely waiting for the price to drop.
Yeah, that's gonna be pretty soon at this point, especially with the news of Viacom trying to sell Harmonix, so.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Someone said to me, so Viacom was selling Harmonix, could there be a possibility of MTV buying it? And I was just sat down, I was like, MTV is owned by Viacom.
Some idiot
on Twitter.
Which I love, because if you ever watch the GameTrailer.com reviews, they always say that, like, Rock Band and Game Trailers are owned by the same company.
Yeah.
And so,
Game
Trailers does GTTV on Spike TV, and Spike TV is owned by Viacom.
Yeah.
Which
I guess they don't have to do in a couple of weeks, so.
Yeah. Interesting.
And as for me, I mean, I've already posted my thoughts of it on the site, but it's been having a very James Bond month.
I want to play Bloodstone. Have you played it?
I faded and beat it in like a day. It at best is a rental. You have to be a really diehard James Bond fan to even rent that, though.
It doesn't look like
the game's 5 hours, if that. And I was playing on the highest difficulty you can start on.
Okay, is it worth 5 hours of my life to play it? Like, will it be?
I think
like Bond a lot, not as much as you, but.
It's a nice shooter. It's just nothing special. It does nothing out of the ordinary. It doesn't do anything new, not all games need to do, but it needs to do something special. I think what the game does really well is, it gives you a sense of feeling like James Bond. Like, there's nothing better than, like, going into a room, taking people out with, melee attacks, and then using the focus aim to take out the other two or three people in the room, because you actually feel like a badass when you do that. But the fact is, The fact is, everything else wrapped around the game isn't that exciting.
That's what it reminded me of. It reminded me of Splinter Cell Conviction.
That's what a lot of people compare it to, but from what I understand, I haven't played it.
Although, playing in a room and beating the crap out of some guy and throwing him into a wall look pretty damn cool.
Yeah, the thing is, it's like the same kind of animations you see throughout the whole game.
Because that was
one of the things I was most looking forward to, is like just like the different, like there are different situations. Just like you have stealth takedowns, you have wall takedowns, you have takedowns, you have over the top takedowns, you have like, you know, you can pull people like if you're on cover and on the other side, you can pull them across you. If you're, like, hanging off on the edge, you can pull them down and stuff like that. So there are different types of takedowns. It's just that there's not a much variety, and you tend to do the same type of takedowns because of the situations you are in.
Would you say, because I enjoy Splinter Cell Conviction a lot, so I feel like, I like Bond, so.
I enjoyed it enough that I finished it. It's a nice ride. It's just that, especially, and this is, I think, like, the car chase sequences are too much on rails, and I think this is when people, like, when people talk about their problems with linearity in a video game, this is what they're referring to, where it's like, you can't make any mistake on what the set course is that you have to take, and if you do, you get tore up.
One of the reviews that I saw said that Bloodstone was basically felt like a consolation prize for the Wii getting GoldenEye.
And I can see that, and I was going to touch on GoldenEye next, because to me that is the far superior game, and it is not very often that you find out that the Wii has a better version of a game or a franchise, but I feel that it's kind of weird because it's built. It looks like a Call of Duty. It looks like it would be a Call of Duty clone, but because I guess they put so much emphasis on the stealth element of the game, it feels so much different. Because you don't really run and gun throughout the game. There are segments where you have to,
yeah.
But for the most part, it's kind of going into a room, surveying people, and just seeing how you can best go about taking out this whole room of people without being detected and firing your gun.
Despite it being on the Wii, I think it actually looked really good, and it's just a shame that it's on the Wii only.
I don't think that's. I'm
it's alright if you have a Wii, but it's not alright if you don't have a Wii.
Well, I was gonna say, I think that it's the perfect type of shooter for the Wii's audience because, one, it's not M-rated, which is something I didn't really realize with the Bond series until recently. It never crossed my mind. Is that for all the shootouts and stuff, he has just no blood or anything in the franchise.
Yeah.
So they, you know, you can get away with that in the game because it's not something in the movie franchise. And the fact is that the GoldenEye audience was originally, you know, on the Nintendo 64. If it's the same audience that will pick it up now, I don't know. Because, I mean, I assume they moved on to stuff like Call of Duty and Halo Reach and stuff like that. But the fact is, I don't think GoldenEye would have gotten as much attention if it was on the PS3 or the 360, especially coming out a week before Black Ops.
I think that's why they did it, though, is, like, because they announced it as Wii only, and everyone's like, what the fuck? This is Wii only?
And that's the other thing, and this is kind of, is that the character models in this game look so much better than the one in Bloodstone. Like, you could
really?
Tell Bloodstone, you can tell that Bloodstone models have, you know, they're better detailed and stuff, because it's a stronger engine, but, like, the facial features of, like, Daniel Craig's and Judi Dench, it just looks like their face.
I have to admit, I did notice that Daniel Craig looks a lot better in the Wii GoldenEye than Bloodstone.
Yeah, and I feel like this, and I think this is what they need to do with Bond games going forward, is they need to, like, just, there's a lot of movies and books to take from, so use those as templates, because one of the problems with Bloodstone is it doesn't really have a general pacing, because it's like you have, like, I think 7 levels or something. It's like 14 stages, but it's, for the most part, you get it like 2 or 3 shootouts, and then you have 4 or 5 car chases. And a Bond movie doesn't have that many car chases. It's just kind of redundant at that point.
Yeah, but a Bond movie is a fraction of the time. Even a Bloodstone, a Bond movie.
Well, no, I get that, but if you compare it to something like GoldenEye, which uses the movie as a template, you have, you mix it up. You have a part where you're on a motorcycle when he's trying to get the airplane at the end of the, then you have, like, the chase in St. Petersburg with the tank. And then you have, you know, like, the infiltration of the crater. So you have, like, these different set pieces, and it's kind of paced well because they have, like, you have to hit the beats in the movie, but they do it in such a way that they mix it up where it follows the movie in spirit, but it doesn't follow the movie all the way. Like, for the most part, there's no Boris. Xena has such a... Xena on a top has as much more role in this movie, I think. I just have a game, and it's kind of weird to say, but the multiplayer is actually pretty enjoyable. And I know that Daniel would have... It has an issue with the Wii's online setup. There are some headaches, but for the most part, I play almost every night or every other night with Anthony, and we don't have any problems, like, getting into games and stuff like that and finding each other.
Do you use the... Stick or the
I use the Wiimote.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that the Wiimote is actually one of the better control schemes.
I think...
Surprise me.
I wouldn't say it's surprising. I think that it's honestly between the Wiimote and the classic controller that gets set up for the GameCube controller just sounds awful. And I just honestly personally prefer the Wiimote because I don't like the classic control feel.
And I'm the golden classic controller pro.
No, if they had a golden Wiimote, I would have been there day one. I mean, granted, I was there day one anyhow, but
you'd have been there minute one of day one.
Yes, and just to keep on my Activision streak, since I've apparently been playing two Activision games, I've also started Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions, which is a nice game, but it has serious camera issues, which is always an issue with Spider-Man games, I think. It's just so hard to keep track of his character movement around the screen.
That reminds me, I need to pick up War for Cybertron. I'm not a Transformers fan.
Oh, that game is
good. It's so good.
I was actually surprised by that game. Because, you know, most Transformers games are crap. This is pretty much Gears of War with giant robots.
And you know the thing is, I expected like a really cool campaign and a really lame tacked on multiplayer. It's actually the other way around. The multiplayer is the star of that game.
No, I think the single player is awesome.
Oh, it was, I don't know.
Did you like the single player?
No, I thought it was completely repetitive. The story was just like, it stretched it out a lot, like it shouldn't have taken that much time. All the environments are completely like bland and repetitive. Like,
what are you talking about? You're on a robot planet.
Yeah, I was about to say, I assume it's because it's Cybertron. It's not like they have tropical jungles and stuff. They're cars.
No, I know, but it's just, I don't know. I mean, I played it a while ago, so I don't, but like, I really did not enjoy it. I had to force myself through the campaign.
I didn't. I used to play it for like 2 hours a night, and I just lost track of time because the missions was, it's so much fun. Just like, you know, you can shoot stuff or you can transform into a vehicle or a jet. It's just, you know, exciting.
Plus it bugged me that they had, I mean, granted they're not gonna, you know, when you're shooting hundreds of robots, they're not gonna do unique designs for everyone, but everything is the same.
That I agree with, especially being that pretty much the enemies were the same for both sides, just cut differently.
Yeah. So, I have a lot of beef, but the multiplayer, I really have done.
I was actually curious about, I mean, I didn't know that Transformers Universe had so many generic robots in it. What can you do?
Yeah, and it's good.
I think that should do it for our driven fan section.
Side note, real quick, I was walking down, I was in the store the other day, and I noticed that, because we were talking about GoldenEye and Bloodstone and stuff, for the DS version, they have a Bloodstone, a GoldenEye, and the Black Ops.
Yeah.
There can't be that many FPS DS players.
Well, and the funny thing is, GoldenEye and Bloodstone, at least, I don't know about Black Ops. It's all made by the same company.
Yeah.
It's made by N-Space,
yeah.
Which I feel bad for. I'm probably one of the few people in this world who actually enjoyed Geist.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, that's pretty much the problem. It's not a great shooter, but it was I like the idea behind it. If they had more time, I think if they could have fleshed it out. But basically, it's about you're like a ghost in a first-person shooter. So you don't have a form, so you take over like people, and in order to take over them, you have to scare them into you know to a weakened state. So like sometimes you'd have to take over like a dog bow to scare a dog, and then the dog would walk.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it was an interesting idea. It's just that it wasn't really, you know, fleshed out enough. And the multiplayer was kind of wonky because it had the same concept where, like, there was just people standing around and you had to possess them to get their weapon. They could possess a guy with a rocket launcher to get the weapon.
That sounds a bit odd.
Yeah. I wish they had a chance to do it again and, you know, improve on what they built on. Because it was an interesting idea for a first-person shooter. You don't see that too often nowadays. So, that shall be it, and we shall take a break and meet you on the other side. Welcome back, and we are just going to catch you up on 2 months worth of news, so this is to make an extra long edition. No, but seriously, as we mentioned in the first...
Hey, I got a 49ers game to watch in 20 minutes. I'm just kidding.
As we mentioned in the first segment, one of the big news stories this week is that Viacom seems to be ready to set waves with Harmonix.
They're not making enough money.
Yeah, I did not realize that, but apparently even though Rock Band's so decent, it hasn't really made a profit for them, or it didn't that kills the expectations. And I guess you could blame it on them, and you can partially blame it on Guitar Hero for kind of saturating the marketplace.
I don't think we ever. I think with Rock Band 3, they kind of carved a niche, though, because Rock Band 3 is for the hardcore people, and Guitar Hero is just for the people who want to have fun. So it's kind of like the GTA Saints Row thing.
Yeah, I think the problem with that has always been that it never made sense to have really sequels to these games when you had to, like, the downloadable stores. Like, if you give people like 40 songs on the game disc, and then like every week you give them like 5 more, it never made sense for me to invest another $150 into a new set of drums and guitar and stuff like that.
Well, especially when they do what Guitar Hero does. Especially when they do what Guitar Hero does, which is introduce something in the guitar only to take it away again.
Yeah, so I thought it was a bad business decision. I think they would have. I could be wrong, but I think it would have served them better to just continue on that line.
One company that could benefit a lot from this sale is Activision.
Activision always benefits, but
because Activision could buy Harmonix, and there we go, no competition.
Yeah, it's gonna make Madden, or Harmonix could be sold to somebody who can't afford to release Rock Band.
I think that EA will buy them.
I think so too. I think EA wants to compete. I think EA and Activision are pretty much going to be the big two. Well, they are the big two, but I think
EA already publishes Rock Band or distributes.
Yeah, so they might as well just cut out the middleman. And they already have a working relationship with them. So, I mean, it could always be Ubisoft. They could have like Rock Bands with C. And you
could be Microsoft after Dance Central. You know?
They can have Raving Rabbids Rock Band.
You see, I wouldn't. I could see it being a first party, but I don't know if Harmonix wants, because Harmonix, as much as I love Rock Band, doesn't really have a market outside of music games. Like, they made what, Frequency and Amplitude?
No, I mean, that's they're all musicians, though, like everyone on their staff.
Yeah, what I mean is that I don't see how that would benefit Microsoft. Like, Dance Central may do well, but that doesn't necessarily mean that Dance Central 2 and 3 and 4 are going to do well as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's likely, I'm just saying.
I could see it possible. I can't see Sony doing it, and I can't see Nintendo doing it, but I guess on the same hand, I don't see Microsoft invested in publishers anymore. Like, they would much.
Because it would take
Microsoft
so much
seems to be too interested
point.
In third-party stuff to bother with, because they're closing down. They closed their own studios down left, right, and center, or they went ruined them. But I don't think they're interested in first parties anymore.
No, and I can kind of see why, because it's not always a great deal. It helps your console create an identity, but to them, most of their big sellers are third-party titles like Call of Duty, GTA. Like, outside of like Halo or maybe Gears of War, they don't really have any go-to franchises.
Halo. Say what you want, that moves a lot. They move a lot of users to Fable.
That's it, really, though?
Yeah, like, what, Fable 1 and 2 moved each at least 3 million or something?
I was going to say, I guess compared to like Nintendo and Sony's franchises, like, even, I mean, for the Gran Turismo moves like 10 million, and God of War moves like 3 or 4.
But those are, I don't know, well, I guess.
And we don't even need to talk about Nintendo franchises. I mean, Nintendo has, what, 14 of the best-selling games this generation, so I don't think they need first parties as much as Nintendo does, and Sony.
Nintendo is only their first party.
Yeah, but whenever, well, of course they don't, because Nintendo third parties don't sell.
Because nobody makes third party games on there ever.
What do you mean nobody makes third party games ever? The Blob.
No, I said nobody makes third. I said nobody makes third party games on there ever on their console.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Nintendo's their own best studio, so like
it's a gift and a curse, I guess. Because I mean, as much as people love Heavy Rain, it was never going to be a competition to anybody's game. Mod Nation Racer, stuff like that. You know, it's a competition, but you could best Mod Nation Racer, you could best Halo Big Planet, no problem. And I'm sure there's going to be like some Sony fans up in arms about this, but
well, no, not really, because they are their own sort of thing.
Yeah, they are, on the same hand, you don't have, like, legacy aside, you don't have many games on any console that competes with, like, Mario Galaxy.
No, because that's because of the market, that's why. The people that own the consoles aren't the people that would buy those games.
Well, it's back and forth, I think, because if they had those type of games early on where you had to...
And I think with things like Mario Galaxy, part of the game is the control scheme and using the Wii Remote. So it kind of takes it away. If you take the Wii Remote away, you take out kind of the life of the game.
Yeah, which is why I always use it as an example. And I know people are like, oh, you know, it would have been the same game if it didn't use the Wii Remote. That isn't true. It would have been a different game. It would have been a Mario 64 clone.
I'm not a fan of motion controls, but bad. Nintendo did fairly well with the controls on most of their games, actually.
Yeah, and I think I've always think that's the problem with... I think that was the problem with third parties on the Wii, and I'm assuming it's going to be the same problem with Kinect and Move, is that it's all or nothing. Like, you don't need to make your game overly motion heavy for people to use motion controls in it. Just kind of use it where it sense the game. Like, I used to hate that with early 6S games, like Uncharted, where you have to flip the controller to toss a grenade.
Yeah.
It's a novel idea, but you have no control over where the grenade goes, and stuff like that.
That's why they turn it off.
Yeah, it's just like something to tack on. Where I think even though it's kind of, you can say it's tacked on the Galaxy, it works in that it helps, craft the game. Because the star bits piece are minor that you use. The spin jump, I think, becomes vital because it's not a button press. You just kind of shake it. But enough about the Wii. I guess speaking of first-party titles, GTA Gran Turismo 5 finally got a It finally got a second release. Well, a final release date.
Whoa. Never say that.
Yeah.
It will change.
I'll believe it when it's on the show.
It's November 24th, so that is 2 weeks from now. And if
I'm not... They do have a giant, giant, giant poster billboard thing in Madrid advertising it, so...
I'm assuming that could have been the same advertisement they had for... Because the game was supposed to come out 2 weeks ago, so...
That's
could be
true.
The same advertisement. And...
Like I said on Twitter, right, the platinum trophy in GT5 should be awarded as soon as you stick the disc in the tray, in the drive, because you managed to get a copy of the game.
So...
After all this time.
And in addition to announcing a final release date, they also released a list of cars, and, I mean, I think that the PR said, if you think it's in it... Or something along those lines.
I have some problems with the car list. Alright.
You actually went through it?
No, I didn't go through. I saw kind of like a summary, and it was actually an article that summed it up. And so they made a big deal that they put the Top Gear test track in the game, right? So why, in that case, do they not put some of the cars that are used in Top Gear around that track, like, for example, the Suzuki Liana or the Chevrolet Lacetti? And. Apparently, the game has, like, 100 different variations of one car. It's like, really?
So yeah. And I'm assuming it's probably going to be crappy cars, and it's just going to be top-tier cars you get much later on in the game.
Does that count the go-karts, too? There are, like, 100 different go-karts?
Are the go-karts... I don't follow this game, because I've never been interested in, like, these type of simulations. So are the go-karts actually go-karts? I just assume they would be, like, stripped-down versions of real cars.
No,
they're
go-karts, yeah.
Okay. Is anybody getting it?
I wouldn't even if I had a PS3.
Again.
Yeah.
Again.
I've never really been into Gran Turismo.
I wouldn't be surprised if it had low sales because people couldn't give a crap anymore.
I mean, I think it's going to sell well. I mean, it's just going to sell Sony well, where, they have to...
They will never make the money back that they spent on it.
I think that game would have to, like, sell it out and come to free BJ to do anything close to that.
Sony
will be happy if they at least cut their last half or something,
The only way I can see this really paying off for them is, like, if they turn around and, like, have GT6 ready to go in, like, 2 years.
That won't ever happen.
No, because I could just see them remaking a new engine for that game, so...
I'll be surprised if GT6 is on PS3.
You never know, because everybody wants to extend this generation for, like, 50 years, so...
I mean, save me money on that.
It would be nice, but I don't think these... I don't think any of these consoles really have anything to kind of keep them going.
But I don't think a new console would
They kind of struggled to get GT5 on the PS3.
Because, I mean, honestly, with the release of GT5, we are done, I think, all major franchises. I guess we can have a new GTA. But, you know, GTA 4 was the greatest game in the world. And there's, like, no major franchises left. And you can say, oh, new IPs. But at this point in the generation, I think... Yeah, everybody's kind of backing their own pony, and it's going to be very difficult to break into it.
As this generation is going to like keep growing, and the installed bases keeps growing, the risk for publishers to invest in
the new IPs will come out of the motion controls.
No, you're going to get like, I mean, and
this becomes lower because there's so many more potential. You know, it was like when the PS2 was like over 100 million sold, then you saw all these little like. Niche games popping up.
Yeah, the problem with that is that this generation has kind of done away with niche developers. You have, like, the big publishers, and then you have, like, people making independent games like WiiWare, PSN, and Xbox Live Arcade. There's not many middle ground releases in the stores anymore because people can't afford to, you know, the shelf space in publishing these games because you have so many games this generation consoles.
They have the infrastructure to deliver it without all of them, then why not take advantage of that? Like, just because it comes from a PlayStation Store and Xbox Live Arcade doesn't make it any less of a game.
No, it doesn't make it any less of a game, but it also doesn't grow the install base because the only people who already know about those are people who already own the console.
Yeah, but these are games that you wouldn't necessarily play install bases anyway because they're niche.
Yeah. But my thing is, like, you won't see, like, I don't see any big retail thing coming that's gonna, like, I could see Move and Kinect, like, I don't see either one doing that well, but I could see them extending their life for a year, year and a half at best. I honestly think Move is dead in the water already, because I don't know any games, I mean, Sorcery's announced for it next year, and that's about it. I could be wrong.
Sony isn't really backing Move very well.
No.
Going, oh, this game will support Move, it's not, we want Move-only games, that's what we want.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like the opposite of the Wii, where Nintendo can get away with saying, "Oh, Smash Brothers has cast control support, GameCube support," because you know it uses the, you know, you already have the Wii motion controls. At that point, it's just like, do I want to use this or do I have an old GameCube controller and whip it out?
Yeah,
so you can't get away.
That's the problem with Move, I think, is that, you know, even if it's like slightly less accurate, that technology already exists in some form on the Wii.
Yeah, that was always going to be the big problem with it, and the fact that Sony just doesn't seem to have any component software.
Kinect has a chance, I think, because whether it's better or worse than having an actual controller, it's different.
And it has Dance Central, but my problem, the thing with Dance Central, and I think we've had this discussion before, is just that it has to overcome the Just Dance juggernaut, and it really has to overcome the Michael Jackson game that comes out.
It'll be one of those games with a long tail because it'll be like the original Guitar Hero where
We'll see. The problem is that people play Just Dance and they had fun with that and that was a crappy game. So.
But that's what I'm saying. Just wait until they get their hands or, hands on, but you know.
But what I meant, I guess what I meant in that regard is that it has, because Just Dance 2 just came out and that's selling well as well. So people know that brand, and they know, you know, we can have fun with this. We don't have to invest another $150, and that's assuming you have an Xbox 360.
And a 6x8 square foot.
Yeah, so.
Space.
I will say that I did.
And you don't sit down.
Like, moms and stuff in the stores looking at the Kinect boxes, like, doing the demos. It reminds me a lot of when the Wii first came out.
Yeah, I can see that. I just, like, right now, I'm assuming it's selling well. I mean, it's gonna sell well initially. It's Christmas. It was on Oprah. It was on Ellen. It exploded in stores, but it's kind of...
What was the topic again?
The topic was
GT5.
I mean, I guess, you know, since we segue from GT5...
You always go back to motion control.
It somehow always ends up that way. But I guess since we were talking about new IPs... Rockstar is actually coming out with L.A. Noir, which finally has a trillion, I guess, release date.
It's funny, because everyone's been waiting for it for years, and I've only just kind of heard about it, and like, oh, this looks cool.
Well, I'm curious. Jason seems to know more about this than I do, because to me, it looks like a Mafia ripoff, but he says that's not true based on the Game Informer preview, so...
Well, Game Informer ran, earlier this year, ran a cover story on it, and based on that, it was... like, for context, Mafia is basically a GT clone, or GTA clone, but, like, you know, Mafia time, 20s, whatever. So, like, this has that same setting and aesthetic, except I think Mafia was in New York, Chicago or something. This is in L.A., which is completely, like...
I wouldn't have guessed
that.
Completely
changed the whole game.
Oh, no, okay, no. Okay, well, that's just the setting is different because L.A. is not, like, a city. It's so, like... Anyway, that's little. The main thing is that the game's not centered around, like, combat.
Is it more of, like, a crime drama thing?
Yeah, it is. It's all based around, like, detective stuff. Like, it's more... Like, it reminds me a lot of, like, a point-and-click adventure almost, but more interactive. The way
is it going to make Heavy Rain?
Maybe. So, I mean, I don't know. The way the preview was written suggested that the game is a lot more centered around, you know, being a detective, figuring out mystery stuff for yourself. Like, you can analyze anything in the environment, in the crime scene, and then you have to put together the, you know, figure out who's lying and stuff and do all that. And I don't know. So, it's not just, you know, that's what made it a lot different from Mafia. But that doesn't come out in the trailer, so that's why it's kind of hard.
No, it doesn't really, and sometimes it's hard to show game ideas in a trailer, which I think is why most of them usually tend to focus on, like, the CGI and the prettiness. Because, like I said, it does come off looking like Mafia, which we just had this past summer. Or Mafia 2, anyhow.
I think they actually did themselves a disservice, because everybody knows Rockstar style, and at least what I've read makes it sound like this is a bit of a departure.
Yeah, which I'm kind of happy for, but it kind of seems niche for Rockstar.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's always been. But they definitely need to get extended, like, 5-10 minute gameplay trailer out. But, yeah. You know, it'll come. It'll be part of their, you know, marketing cycle and stuff.
Well, they only have one game a year, so they might as well put everything behind it.
I mean, that's all I need.
Oh, and I guess it is correct. N-Space is also making back up for the DS, so really, yep. N-Space is the company to go to when you need your handheld first-person shooters made.
Did you know they made Geist?
Yeah, for the Wii.
Yeah.
I mean, the GameCube. Yeah, that's why I was... and now you wanted to talk about this project... LM, is this the canceled Spielberg game?
Yeah. You guys heard about this, right?
I saw your tweets about it, and I saw, was it Glebov's tweets? And it's just like wall of text about a game I'd never heard of.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I don't know, I saw the cover story on 1UP and just kind of clicked on it. So I was like, oh, Spielberg's game, you know, like, what's up with it? And I saw the big wall of text was like 3 pages, and at first I was like, oh, whatever. So I read the first, I don't know, paragraph, and then it just, like, got hooked. It's a really well-written story, you know. It's like the game, the process of developing the game itself is a story. And
yeah.
It's just interesting to see, like, the way everything broke down. And basically the concept was that it was a single-player game centered around you play like I think it was a first person, and then you had an AI partner that would, I'm trying to remember, and she would, the way her behavior would like dynamically change based on how you treat her. Like, she was completely capable of taking care of herself, but then like, if you tended to help her out, like she would help you. And that's a really simple example. Like, I would point you towards the 1UP cover story to actually like get everything, but it was really ambitious what they were trying to do with the AI character. And this was before, you know, the whole AI partner thing, like with Prince of Persia and like every single other game that's come out in the last few years. So ideas have like come out, some of them. But also I think what was a really interesting idea was they were trying to make it, they pitched it as a 3-hour game. They described it as hyper replayable.
But I guess I wouldn't mind a 3-hour game if it was like a 3-hour game, like every decision you made changed.
That's the thing is that everything, I don't know, you guys should read the story, all of you listeners should read the story.
Yeah,
it's hard for me to describe, but.
I would rather take a game that you can play 10 times through that's like an hour and a half than one game that's like 10 hours and so. Depending on how well they do it, that your decisions are actually weighted.
Yeah, like that's one of my big gripes of the Dead Rising series, because it will just go, oh, by the way, you can't get any further, you need to restart. And everything is exactly the same the second time around.
Yeah, and
that's
like
a lot of developers feel like they need to stretch out their game.
Artificially stretching it out.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, some developers have more budget, more time to like make it worthwhile. But a lot of times it becomes repetitive, like in Transformers War for Cybertron, where you're basically doing the same thing for hours. And I think, I don't know, it's just an interesting idea to develop shorter games.
We're just going to have to agree to disagree.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, that was also the biggest problem I had with this generation, is that nobody, and I understand that you don't want to think your game's crap or that your game's CS worthy, but I think there are a lot of games that would have benefited from having a cheaper or lower entry point, because not every game's worth $60, not all of them are worth $40. Some games are worth, you know, $30 or $20, and if your game, it looks like it's worth $20 or $30, I'm not going to buy it at $60.
That's my problem with Enslaved and Vanquish.
And I completely agree with you on Vanquish, especially being that it's like a 4 or 5 hour game. It
those
looks
games
fun.
Should be $40. That's what, yeah, we need a, you know, variable price structure on games.
Yeah, and
it happened to some extent I've seen in Europe. Like Call of Duty is like 70 something euros, which is ridiculous. But it's also very smart. Like, I mean, I don't want to give Bobby Kotick and company ideas, but it would be a smart business decision to charge more for those games that you are guaranteed going to sell, and you have room to drop, you know, so it's, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that, because, and I guess you can touch on this, I don't know if anybody's played it, there was rumors of a House of the Dead Overkill sequel. They haven't announced a platform or anything, but
it'll be on the Wii.
I would hope it's on the Wii, because they have the engine, but I can also see it being on the PS3 as well.
You can play with Kinect.
It's one of my favorite. It's my favorite rail shooter.
Because
I think
of the black guy.
Yes, because of the black guy. It's just so character games with black characters. No, it's actually a pretty fun and okay. It's a B movie game, which is fun because it's shot like a B movie. It has like the whole grindhouse filter on it and stuff like that, where it looks like, you know, busted up film footage. And the fact is, I bought the game for like $15-$20, and it was an awesome experience. If I had paid the full $50 they charge for it, that would not have, you know. So I hope that they come out and they see that, you know, maybe we should charge $30 for this, and more people would buy it than if it was $50. I mean, would you rather sell some, like, you know, 50,000 copies at $50 or 150 copies at $30?
Yeah,
I'm surprised that there's a bit more experimentation, honestly.
Yeah, and Nintendo kind of did that because, like, originally when Frank Splash was announced, it was like a $30 game, and then it decided to delay it a bit and throw it in with a Wii controller and make it $50. And as much as I want a Wiimote PS, I don't know. You know, if I get one, I get the game because it's $10 more. But if the game was $30 on its own, I probably would have been more likely to buy it.
Yep.
I hope that something that they think about going forward is pricing games according to their content, especially if it's like a 4-hour game with no multiplayer aspect.
Like
Black Ops on
PC. PC games are usually cheaper than their console equivalents. But
yeah.
Black Ops on PC goes on Steam for the same price as the console versions. And the only reason why I bought it is because I found it about £30, which is standard for PC games.
And you wanted to support Activision so they can keep on making games.
Yeah. Because, you know, they're only a small group of tightly knit developers.
Tightly knit, who never have any type of public argument.
You know, their CEO is a nice guy who I can generally empathize with on his stance on the games industry.
Okay.
I read an interview, I want to say.
He's best friends with Tim Schafer.
Yeah, but THQ CEO, he wants to start coming out with I forget what game it was, the launch. So I mean, it's starting.
So yeah, I mean, is there anything else you folks want to talk about? I mentioned this on Twitter recently, but you know, we're going to start doing, start counting down our Game of the Year nominees and stuff like that. Oh, I mean, you do know how we're going to do it, and I guess we can share it now, is that everybody here gets to pick their own game. Everybody get, Mass Effect is yours?
Mass Effect 2 is my game of all time.
Okay. So yeah, everybody gets to pick theirs. Daniel's is Red Dead Redemption. By the Super Mario Galaxy. And basically how we're gonna do it is everybody gets to rank the, you know, everybody gets to rank the games. I just want to make sure that everybody here has some experience.
How surprised were you when I didn't say Halo Reach?
You know, I care, but I can't see that being the game of the year for many people.
The multiplayer is what really let it down for me, actually.
And I kind of agree with you. It's like, I played almost every day or every other day, but it still doesn't feel that special to me. Like, I'll play just to do the daily challenges, which I think was probably the best feature they added.
Yeah. It's not that it doesn't feel special, it's that Bungie kind of missed the mark with some things.
Like what?
So, they announced that Blood Gulch was back from the first Halos, well, of Halo 1 and 2, and I was like, yes! And I played Blood Gulch, and I was like, this... What did they do? This map is terrible now. The problem is the weapon starts. It's just like tiny things they need to fix, like the weapon starts, they need to rebalance some of the weapons. They need to rebalance armor lock. To make it so you only start with one grenade, and I think that most of the maps were just bad.
Yeah.
One thing I can say about Black Ops multiplayer is none of the maps I don't like, whereas in Reach, most of the maps I don't like.
And I think the biggest issue with Reach and the multiplayer maps is that because they're so subdivided, that you have maps for Invasion, you have maps for...
Yeah, maps were designed for one game type and one game type only, and there was slap deathmatch on...
It just kind of gets tedious playing like some of its modes because
you. The thing I like most about Halo 3's multiplayer is the maps were. You could kind of see where the maps were set, but you couldn't say, "Oh yes, this is from this place from campaign." It's a new place, but you can sort of identify with that place where this map is set. But
I don't have an issue with that.
Single player. This is from single player. This is from single player.
I don't have a problem. The only time I have an issue with that is in Firefight. Because for some reason they decided to just like take one aspect of the map and just like kinda carry it over. Like they carried it over without changing anything, and then they have the fact that like you go out of bounds, and I'm like, why didn't they just set it up so you can't go out of bounds here?
Corvette is inside of a hangar, right? If you jetpack too high, you go out of bounds. I was like, this map is indoors anyway. What?
Yeah. There are... And it makes no sense. It's like, you can't even stay jetpack that long. Unless you have, like, one of the custom-made maps where you know...
Yeah.
It makes no sense. Like, what are the chances you're going to jetpack up there for 10 seconds?
Yeah. I think it's
stupid.
I know Bungie kind of missed the mark with quite a few things, and although I really like the single player, the multiplayer just wasn't as fun as Halo 3 was. Also, here's the biggest thing that they needed to change, but they didn't. Is so instead of doing what most games do now and letting people join mid-game, they decided to make it so if you quit too many times. They say, oh, you sit out for 10 minutes, you can't play. That doesn't work. That doesn't stop people from quitting.
No, it doesn't.
It's annoying. That's why Reach is not my game of the year.
You know, that's actually an interesting idea, and I didn't think about it. But, I mean, if you want to go... if we schedule that game of the year podcast...
Even though I didn't like Red Dead Redemption's multiplayer, I think its single player was that good, considering it was a game that I was not looking forward to or anything.
I was going to say, I have it the opposite, where I like the multiplayer and not so much the single player. But,
like in Transformers, too.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, we could, I mean, if you want, maybe one or two games a week, where we know it won't be our game of the year. And we can talk, I don't know what other ones we could do this week.
God of War 3, Heavy Rain.
So, okay, why won't... I can see why Heavy Rain wouldn't be a Game of the Year, but why wouldn't it be your Game of the Year?
I mean, I haven't played enough of it, so...
Okay. I just...
It could be, but I'm not going to play it by the time I know that, so I'll probably just leave it off the list.
Okay, that's fair enough. And, I mean, and there are going to be some games, because, you know, all of us are just, like, people who just, like, talking about video games, so it's not like we have an unlimited budget, and we get these games free. So, you know, these games are stuff we pay and pay out of our pocket for, so... Yeah, Heavy Rain... I'm sad to say that the PS3 probably won't get much recognition, because the only person who actively plays it is Chad, I guess. I haven't bought
a game... I've played PS3 games, just not... I haven't played that one.
Yeah, I don't... I honestly have not played a game for my PS3. I haven't bought a game for my PS3 all year. It just hasn't really been much. Oh, here's one.
It doesn't help. It doesn't help that most of the time multiplayers are better on the 360.
That's the other thing. It's that I have games that are on the PS3, but I just get them on the 360 either because of the achievement or because I know friends will have it, which is part of why I got Bloodstone, because I thought the multiplayer would be decent enough for me to play with friends, and it wasn't.
I couldn't even spend my Game of the Years on single player alone. Usually.
Yeah. I mean, it because my Game of the Year is Super Mario Galaxy, and that's all based on single player. Yours is Mass Effect.
Hang on.
Daniel's is Red Dead Redemption.
You were speaking about the multiplayer in Bloodstone. So we were talking about... I'm just going to make this quick. We're talking about... like, lowering price of games, right? Based on their content. So, Fallout New Vegas, I would pay £40, $60 for it, because there is a lot in that game, right? Whereas, if you're going to tack on a multiplayer, you could just not tack on the multiplayer and just reduce the cost of the game, because they're saying that people...
I completely
really
agree!
They're saying that people are more in demand for multiplayer. They're not more in demand for multiplayer. What they're in demand for is more for their money.
Yeah, I think, and people are in demand for multiplayer in games.
Publishers don't understand this yet. Publishers don't understand that.
Like, I'm not going to say nobody... I don't think anybody's going to ever... I'm not going to say people won't upstage Modern Warfare or Black Ops, but you don't... There was no reason for Bloodstone to have a multiplayer game.
It's like, you're not going to put a lot of focus into the multiplayer, don't bother, and just reduce the price of the game.
Yeah, I would have much preferred if Bloodstone ditched this quote-unquote multiplayer mode and just kind of sell for like $30-$40. It would have been a much easier. I still would have probably recommended a rent to, but, you know. So, I mean, and I guess we can leave on Final Fantasy 13, because I'm assuming you won't nominate that for your game of the year.
No.
So there you go. I mean, you know our choices. We'll discuss why we picked them during our... you know, Game of the Year edition, which I hope we can have all six of us here for. Well, we have to have
that
all six of us.
That would not happen.
It's gonna happen. We're gonna have to fan it ahead of time.
Yeah. We can probably do too is like all if we can't be here, like send an argument to you or something, and then we'll have everyone.
That could work too.
I don't think I can be here actually for the rest of the year.
Well, I mean, So, I guess for Daniel and Jason, this is Dual World in Episode 11, and we'll catch you next week, hopefully.
Auf Wiedersehen. Transformers! Defenders of Truth! Robots who fight in disguise! Transformers! The strong will survive. You know. Rebel in their
Disco!